You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were talking about Isaiah chapter 40. We were going through the litany of questions. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off, starting at verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Here we have these rhetorical questions, in which the question is, have you heard? Well, the Gentiles have not heard. They did not have the revealed knowledge of salvation as we have it in the written word of the prophets. Now, on the other hand, the people of Israel have had God's word. The revealed knowledge of salvation has been revealed to God's people by the prophets ever since the beginning. And so since the foundations of the earth, God has made his will known. He has sent his prophets to speak his word so that people can hear, so that people can be taught the truth about God. And so the prophet Isaiah goes on in verse 22. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. In a passage like this, we are taught about the power of God, the omnipotence of God. And of course, notice the contrast here between a grasshopper and stretching out the heavens like a curtain. That God is the one who brings rulers to ruin. So although these earthly rulers, these tyrants, may think that they have everything and they can do anything, God is the one who brings them to nothing. Now once again, when we hear the word emptiness, this is the same word that we heard before, that all nations are nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Tohu is the same Hebrew word that was used back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, in which we have heard that the earth from the beginning was without form. It was empty. And so God's the one who brings to emptiness the rulers of the earth. So those rulers and the kings that think they are mighty in their own sight are nothing. Those who think they're wise in their own thinking are empty. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And Paul will go on in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians saying, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. Now remember, they are nothing. They are empty. And God's the one who brings down low. So going back to Isaiah chapter 40, picking up at verse 24. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. Now once again, we are taught that humanity is like grass, fades away, withers, and dies. That this earthly life that we have is temporary. Only God is eternal. Previously back at verse 7 in Isaiah 40, the grass withers, the flower fades when the Spirit of Yahweh blows on it. for the Holy Spirit both mortifies, that is, brings to death, and vivifies, that is, brings back to life. Now let's look at Isaiah 40, verses 25 and 26. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Now, once again, remember, in Isaiah 40, we are making a contrast between these false gods that are formed in the fallen image of humanity, contrasted to the true God, the creator of all things. For these false gods are merely part of fallen creation. So this comparison here between the one who always existed, he's the one who brings creation into existence. And those that were brought into existence are these false deities, and they are empty and nothing. For the Creator is the only one who is God by nature and truth. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, for his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. So once again, we're making a comparison and a contrast, of course, to the true God, who alone is eternally God, and these false gods, these created things that are created by fallen man. So back in Isaiah chapter 40, the question comes again. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from Yahweh, and my right is disregarded by my God? So here God is addressing the thoughts of his own people Israel, who have gone astray, who have fallen after these fallen images. The Lord knows, though. He knows exactly what they are thinking. They cannot hide from God. So the Lord then puts forth a question to them. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And once again, knowing comes through revelation. God sends the prophets so that the people would know, that they could hear and believe, for faith comes through hearing. The people of God had the word of God. They had heard. They had known. Now, the people of God may grow faint and weary, but God does not. He is eternal. He does not grow faint or weary. Again, it's the grass that withers. It's the flower that fades, but not God. It's the word of the Lord that will endure forever. Hear and know. In fact, this is how Isaiah opened up his entire book. Remember in chapter 1, he says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For Yahweh has spoken, children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Now Moses had promised, Yahweh your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. You see, ever since the beginning, we are told to listen to God. We are told to listen to the promises that will be fulfilled in the Word of God in the flesh. So from the beginning, God has been telling them. He has been pleading with them. He's been promising them, assuring them the salvation that will come. Now later on in Isaiah 41, we have these questions that are put before us. Who has performed and done this? Calling the generations from the beginning. I, Yahweh, the first and the last, I am He. Or again in chapter 41, who declared it from the beginning? That we might know, and beforehand that we might say, He is right. There was none who declared it, none who proclaimed it, none who heard your words. So again, in Isaiah chapter 40, the questions are, have you not known? Have you not heard? And the answer is, ever since the beginning, God has spoken. When we look to the gospel, according to St. John in chapter 1, we know that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And later on in John chapter 8, the Word incarnate said to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So they said to Him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. So you see, the same Word has been speaking to the people of God since the beginning, since the days of Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Abraham, in the days of Isaiah, ever since the beginning. So that in Colossians chapter 1, Paul can say to the baptized, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the beginning. Now it's the true God who makes people see and hear by opening up their eyes and their ears. And He does this through the power of His Word, through which the Holy Spirit works to enlighten and to give faith. Like in Psalm 78, Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. Here in Psalm 78, this is Christ talking, the pre-incarnate Christ, the very Word of God. The same Word was spoken to the fathers of old, and it was written down for posterity's sake. You pass it down from generation to generation so that you can be certain and sure of the correct teaching, the clear Word of God. So in John's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus says, who is the Word incarnate? If you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And again in Matthew chapter 13, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. And later on, Jesus will quote from Isaiah chapter 6, there in Matthew's Gospel. Indeed, he says, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. And again, Jesus goes on to say, To the disciples, on the other hand, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. but to them it has not been given. And Jesus goes on to say, therefore blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, Matthew will comment on this whole episode where Jesus is speaking, and he's saying he's been saying the same thing since the beginning, and the people of God have rejected him ever since the beginning, over and over since the days of all the prophets, that the word was still clear and they would not hear. And so Matthew says all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables, just like Psalm 78. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. And this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. So again, in Isaiah chapter 40, the question is, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? These questions that are put forth. It is the reoccurring theme with God's own people. They reject the word of God, both spoken by the prophets and, of course, in the flesh. And they resist the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, Cyril of Alexandria, the theologian in the 5th century, commenting here on Isaiah chapter 40, he says this. Now, the law for its part was given through Moses. So this helps us to understand why Paul was teaching in such terms as this. The law came in with the result that the trespasses multiplied. And then Cyril notes, and again, Paul also says the scripture imprisoned all in disobedience, so that it might be merciful to all. It was therefore established as an indicator of sin. Therefore, it's a proof of everyone's weakness, so that since it was incapable of justifying sinners, it could only condemn them. The people would understand the need for the grace that comes through Christ. So Cyril will emphasize that the law cannot justify, it's incapable, which then makes us ready for the introduction of Jesus, who justifies the impious and frees from sin those who are guilty of them. And so therefore, investigation is not possible in the understanding of God, who plans everything wisely. On the one hand, he gives the law so that we have the condemnation of sin. And then on the other hand, he sends his Son from heaven in order to justify by faith those who are in sin. And again, when Isaiah is putting forth these questions from God, have you not heard? Have you not known? Well, yes, you should have heard and you should have known, because God has revealed this will since the foundation of the earth through his prophets. Again, Isaiah is saying that the people may grow faint, they may grow weary, they may go away and go astray, they may think that the more sacrifices that they offer, it's going to feed God, if you will. But it's not about sacrifices in the generic. The more that you give, you'll gain God's attention. Instead, it's about God's word of promise. And the sacrifices of the Levites were all put into place to show forth the reality of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Now, the people will grow faint and grow weary. But Isaiah then writes in verse 29 of chapter 40, God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, with these words that Isaiah gives to us, he delivers these words so that we can hear and we can know. Notice the beauty here in the Hebrew poetry, the repetition that we have. So notice how God says that those who wait on Yahweh will increase in strength. And then he goes up and he gives examples, illustrations. He says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. That is, they shall quickly fly without any effort at all. And then he comes back and he repeats and gives another image. They shall run and not be weary. So again, not quite as fast as flying like an eagle, but now running like a sprinter, but yet never becoming exhausted. And so you have these images of flight, which is the fastest, and then you go down to running, which is still fast. And then the third time we come around, we say, they shall walk and not faint. Now notice that you go from flying to running to walking. Walking, tying to being patient, to waiting upon the timing of Yahweh. That one who continues to walk, that is, continues to hear the word of God, walking in the Spirit, they are renewed, they are strengthened, they continue to wait patiently in God's timing, but not grow weary and not faint. This is the whole teaching throughout the scriptures, that we are to wait for Yahweh. This is putting faith in his promise and moving forward with hope for the future. The fulfillment of what he has said will happen, but we wait. Going all the way back to Genesis, when Adam and Eve were given the promise of the seed that would crush the serpent's head, and then they were to wait. They were to hand down this promise to their posterity, giving this word over and over into the ears of God's people so that they can be certain and sure, that they can hear and they can know. And then you get all the way to the end of chapter 49 in Genesis, and we are taught to wait for Yahweh's salvation. So faith and hope are connected. We are waiting for God to act, for God to deliver. Now back in Isaiah chapter 25, the Lord declares, in that day it will be said, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So again, God does not grow weary or faint, even in the midst of a sinful, rebellious people. Instead, he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord God, the Creator of all things, is the one who gives both physical and spiritual strength. So now in chapter 40 of Isaiah, Luther the Blessed Reformer sums up this chapter in this way. God gives words of consolation for the godly and words of rebuke for the self-righteous. Now the 4th century theologian Eusebius of Caesarea, he sums up this chapter in this way. There are two kinds of people. One, God is accusing and condemning. And the other, he is comforting with his promises. See, this is the whole issue at hand, is you have God's people who are in distress and dismay. And then there are the oppressors who are rejoicing over Israel's destruction. The people of God have been crushed and perplexed. They are in need of comfort. So that's why the chapter begins. Comfort, comfort, O my people, says your God. But when God is giving words of comfort to his people, then God must give words of judgment and rebuke to those who are oppressing them. So it's a courtroom setting. So in this passage, it's the courtroom setting. Everyone is to draw near for judgment. Yet at the same time, Yahweh is merciful. So he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God," to his people, to the righteous remnant who listens to the word, trusts in the promises, and endures, waiting for Yahweh to act. Now in chapter 41, we shift gears a little bit. Chapter 41 opens up with these words, "Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment." Now, in a way, this is addressing the questions that were put forth in the previous chapter, in which God will ask the people, his own people, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and why do you speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from Yahweh, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Therefore, he's going to say, listen, be silent. He's talking now to the coastlands, to the Gentiles, to those who have oppressed the people of God, that God is the one who renews and gives strength. Now, this language of being silent means that you do not speak. You become a student who hears and listens, so that you may hear, that you may know. That's the preaching of salvation, listening and learning. And then let them speak, speaking of his judgment. And of course, his judgment is found in Christ. Now, the judgment we find in Christ. And the ruler of this world has been condemned. So in Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, we are not guilty. So Jesus will give these words to us in John chapter 5. "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. And now we know the verdict in the Son, that he died for our sin. He was forsaken for us. The one who knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So that we know that in Christ we are a new creation. Yet outside of Christ, the wrath of God remains." So this word is going out to the ends of the earth here. The word starts of comfort to the people of Israel, and then it's calling into judgment, but at the same time giving the escape, the mercy and grace is found only in Christ. Now, the coastlands, the islands, these are the Gentiles, the Goyim, the ones that will become converted into the faith and become churches. They will become like little islands of pockets of God's people in the midst of an unbelieving world, like the waters of the ocean that is expanse throughout the earth. But again, notice this passage starts off by saying, "Listen to me in silence, O coastlands," that's the Gentiles, "and let the peoples renew their strength." Again, that the peoples, the Gentile peoples, would be just like God's people, hearing his word and knowing his salvation, waiting upon Yahweh to act, that they would be converted, being renewed in their strength. This was the same promise given to God's people. Those who wait for Yahweh shall renew their strength. This promise is valid for both Jew and Gentile.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.